Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There is a story of faithfulness in the midst of persecution, of running the race which Christ sets before us, which always comes to mind whenever I read these words from Hebrews 11 and 12 in our epistle reading today. The story goes that there was a Christian prisoner in communist China who was sitting in prison because of his faith. Now, it's important for us to understand that there is real physical persecution of Christians that goes on around our world. And some of the worst offenders are actually communist regimes which view Christianity as a threat because Christians know something important. The communists are not the greatest authority. There is a greater authority than that of the civil government, the authority of God. Christians are loyal only to God, and the communists recognize that as a threat. So there was a Christian prisoner in Cuba who was asked to sign a statement of charges against his fellow Christians. If he signed, those other Christians would be arrested and imprisoned alongside him. However, he told the guard, "The chain keeps me from signing this." The officer scoffed, "You're not in chains." But the Christian responded, "I am. I am bound by the chain of witnesses who throughout the centuries gave their lives for Jesus Christ. I am a link in this chain, and I will not break it." Wow. What a bold statement of solidarity with the Christian church throughout the world. That's incredible. But I don't think too many of us, especially here in America, really think about ourselves in these terms, as a link in the chain, as surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. The idea of seeing our place among many is perhaps foreign to our way of thinking. Let's just take one example. Think about your favorite sports. Now, let's see a show of hands if your favorite sport would be some individual sport like golf, tennis, car, truck racing, something like that. Okay, at least a couple of hands go up. Okay, now let's see a show of hands if it's a team sport like baseball or football or basketball. A few more. But those of you who are in the latter category, what's your favorite position in those sports? The odds are pretty good that it's one of the more individual positions where you know the names. Quarterback, perhaps a receiver, a returner in football. Baseball, everyone loves the sluggers. No one really cares quite as much about defense. Basketball, all the flashy plays are on offense when some guy slams down on while laying the defender out on underneath him. Most of the time, the more team-focused aspects of the game get left out. Or perhaps think about your favorite Olympic events. The Olympics are going on right now, after all. Swimming and gymnastics are definitely the biggest ones in America, followed by track and field, and all of these are very individual or individualistic events. Even a medley relay, only one swimmer's in the pool at a time. In America, and this is true throughout the world, we are very much individualists. We think about ourselves, we enjoy our alone time, we like a lot of solo or individual activities. At work or at school, we focus more on what we can do by ourselves and focus a lot less on teamwork. Even in a team, the goal a lot of times is to stand out as being the best worker. You get ahead in life by blazing new trails and not by following where others have gone. Now, there isn't anything inherently wrong with an individual approach. However, when we do not look to the others around us, the great cloud of witnesses that surrounds us, we lose out on so much. When you go it alone and you don't think about or look to those around you, you miss out on a lot. Our forebears have great advice for what we are going through because they went through many of the same things. How many kids think when they get to teen years or so, oh, I know everything, mom and dad don't know anything. Well, turns out mom and dad at one point were that age too. Shocking, isn't it? Those around you have undergone many of the same experiences and can help you to work through some of those struggles and burdens. There is something about being alone that makes life more difficult. When we ignore all of those great connections, all of those people around us, we miss out on the great encouragement that they can bring. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, it says, "Though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken." When we are alone, we are much weaker than when we are together. And you are not alone. You have a huge team around you. We are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, as the writer to the Hebrews points out. There are all of these biblical examples he points out of Abraham, who offered up Isaac in faith, of Isaac, who invoked blessings on Jacob and Esau, the examples of Jacob and Joseph, Moses and the people who left Egypt along with him, all of the judges, all of the people in the Old Testament who were so faithful all through their lives. And there are more modern examples, like the Cuban Christian I mentioned at the beginning of the sermon. Our brothers and sisters around the world offer a great testimony to the power of God. When I was at the convention, we were talking about one resolution to support the persecuted church around the world. And one of the other delegates, who I believe was from an English district congregation in Canada, stood up and told his story that he is actually originally from Sudan. And while he was in Sudan, he was arrested, he was beaten, all of his teeth were knocked out, all because he was a Christian. Our brothers and sisters in Ethiopia have endured great persecution in their recent past up until very recently. And as a result of that persecution, their church has been strengthened and has endured and grown. Even in our own congregation, we have examples of the great cloud of witnesses that surrounds us. Examples of faithfulness in their vocations. Examples of raising their children to know and love their Lord and Savior. Examples of faithful service to the church, to the community, and to their Lord. this great cloud of witnesses points us to the greatest one, the aim and goal of our entire Christian life, as I told the kids just a few moments ago. Jesus Christ, who put us ahead of himself. Jesus humbled himself to become a servant to serve those he created. Jesus died on the cross to forgive us, and he called us together into a single people, his people, here today. It is that because we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses that we are here today, united in the church across time and space. We actually see the church being united in this way in our worship when we come up to the rail at communion. You do not receive communion alone. You receive it in communion with those around you. This doesn't just apply to those who are right to your left and right at the rail. No, this applies to all of those who are here in the sanctuary today. It applies to everyone in this community, who in this congregation, who communes at, who has communed at, and will commune at this altar. This applies to those communing at the altars of congregations with which we are in fellowship, our closest ones, St. John and Alma, St. Luke and Christ in Manhattan, Mount Calvary, all of the Topeka churches, and further. It even applies to churches around the world, the ones we've been praying for each week. This week, we single out the Evangelical Lutheran Church, Synod of France, Evangelical Lutheran Church of Brazil, and India Evangelical Lutheran Church. All of these churches around the world, we are communing with today. And this even includes all Christians spread throughout time and space who confess the name of Jesus. We are even communing with that great cloud of witnesses, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven in the church triumphant, who have run the race and received the prize and now partake of the feast to come in Christ's nearer presence. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, unto life everlasting. Amen.